Let's catch up.
An NFL podcast with Taylor Bisciotti
and Sam Batesh,
where we talk about the biggest headlines in the NFL.
So, Taylor, you know what? Let's catch up.
It's been too long.
Yeah, we really should.
Blue Wire.
Taylor, let's catch up. And you know, before we get into anything, I just think perhaps the most important thing out of Week 11 could be what you ate at SoFi Stadium. Now, Taylor, as we know, is all over this Chargers team this particular season, and what a roller coaster it's been. But I love when you have such in-depth information. But this week, the information I want is, what did you eat Sunday night at SoFi? What was your takeaway there?
Sam, every Sunday morning, I tell myself, I wake up and I say, today is going to be the day that I don't eat the press box food and I'm just going to eat beforehand. I don't need to indulge in all this junk food. And every Sunday, I actually believe it. When I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I'm going to like, you know, really eat two big, full, heavy meals. The first thing I do when I get up there, they have this like In-N-Out station of fries where they have the fat fries, which, ooh, nobody wants those. And they have the shoestring fries. And I am the first one to go in there and grab as many as can fit on one of those white paper plates as possible. And then today they have their typical chocolate chip cookies and brownies. So I grabbed three cookies and I act like I'm getting them for everybody.
Of course. Yeah. And Al, you're going over the names. I need one. Yeah. On your finger. I need one for him. And then it puts him and her. Yeah. But they're all for you. We know that.
And then a brownie, because, you know, why not?
Of course. I don't even
just
like
in case it's going to be like a really stressful fourth quarter game where I'm anxiously eating, which happens every week.
Every Chargers game has been that and come down to the wire. My favorite part of any Sunday or Monday or Thursday where Taylor is at the stadium
is picturing
you eating and running to both sidelines or press rooms or elevators where you have to interview the winning player from the team that actually ends up right side of the score. And in the last 2 minutes of every Chargers game, we have no idea what that's going to be.
And that's the beauty of it, is because a lot of times I do get my steps in. So I bet I burn at least like 10 of those skinny fries.
That is my favorite. Well, Taylor, look, we thought it would be fun this particular week to do something different. We have come into every single week, it seems, of the season. And we've said here with Let's Catch Up, we've said to each other, all right, we know nothing each and every week. So we're going to switch it up this week and we're going to force each other. What are the two most important things that we know that we saw in week 11? And I'm going to start with you. Just give me the two things that for you were the most important things that now you know you saw from week 11 that really matter to you. Go for it.
Okay. Well, first, I think that we have to go back to the main thing that we've been talking about all year, which is that every single week we have been so surprised by the outcomes of all these games.
Yes. We're blown away. And again,
because I don't want to hurt your heart, I'm going to skim over the fact that Dak was blown out of the water.
Oof.
But I would have to say, maybe this is probably partial and biased because I was at this game, but I think the Chargers getting back on track after losing three out of their last four games. And Justin Herbert had like not looked the same as he had started off the season with, where he was throwing deep passes and, you know, they were allowing him to run. You almost kind of got a little bit concerned that he was going to be kind of doing a different kind of offense where all they were doing is just those quick screen passes, which is obviously not where his strength is. And we saw him tonight where he had almost 100 rushing yards. He was throwing tons of deep passes. He was the best player on the field. I think Brandon Staley said that after the game. And then you saw him get Mike Williams back into the game where before this, he went four straight games without 60 yards. Austin Eckler, Rashawn Slater. I mean, their offense was
everybody
up until
everybody played
up until the Steelers almost came back. But we're going to skim over that as well. And so I'm going to say,
but they found a way to win. But here's the thing: look, I love that you mentioned the Chargers. Now, if you look at the AFC playoff picture, the Chargers are definitely in there. They're a half game back of the Chiefs in that division. And you and I both
have
big expectations. We're going to get to the Chiefs. Trust me, we're going to get to the Chiefs, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say about them. But we can stick with the Chargers for just more. Does anybody look off defenses this early in his career better than Justin Herbert? I love watching replays of Herbert and where he's scanning the field. Mm-hmm. And he is so good at pretending like he doesn't know exactly where he's going out of that corner of his eye and then hitting the receiver right back in that spot. It's really a marvel to experience.
It's funny that you say that, Sam, because they've asked the offensive coordinator like several times, even Staley, about how well he sees the field and if they ever like noticed that when he was coming out of college. Like, did they think that he had that type of vision? And they said no. Like, if they're being honest, they did not think that he was able to read defenses nearly as well as he is able to now. They were saying, is that like a skill that you can acquire or pick up? And they don't think that it was. They think that he's just always had it. And a lot of people just underestimated just how talented he was at that.
Look, it's great. And I'm so glad that you get that front row seat to this each and every week and throughout the week, just following this team and talking to Staley and talking to Derwin and talking to Justin and Eckler and Allen. I mean, all of it's just been fascinating. And again, it's interesting, when we started this season, both of us had extremely high expectations for the Chargers. I had said the Chargers were going to win the West. You actually have the Chargers in the Super Bowl, which is even loftier than I have. And yet this mm-hmm. is the kind of game, this was the kind of game they need to be on the right end of. At home against the Steelers, up big in a game where the Steelers come back, and the Steelers have been resurgent of late for sure. And yet, unlike Chargers teams in the past who may have allowed this score to be a 3-point loss to the Steelers, which it certainly was looking like late, and instead the one big play to Williams, and it turns it all around. And then defensively, obviously that last drive for the Steelers that went nowhere. All right, so the Chargers is your number one. Number two, what's the second most important thing coming out of week 11 that you saw?
I have a few ties for this number two.
Okay, that's all right. Give it to her.
One, that the Ravens were able to skim by with Lamar Jackson ill, Tyler Huntley coming in, getting a win. It was just skimming by, though. And I think that that's like the story of their season, is that even when Lamar has been playing, doesn't matter who's playing at quarterback, clearly, they're just barely escaping, or they're getting blown out like we saw against the Dolphins.
Maybe the season is encapsulated most by the 66-yarder, right? I mean, that's a game mm-hmm. you can't lose to Detroit, yeah. and yet you find a way to win. And even in a game where Tucker had missed a field goal, he hits a 66-yard record-setting field goal to keep him on track. And again, in a game you seemingly couldn't have lost to Andy Dalton and the Bears on Sunday, and you find mm-hmm. and the Ravens are the 2 seed as of today. So you're right. That's a great one.
Number two, I would say, is the Vikings beating the Packers, because we thought that they looked like the most complete team when Aaron Rodgers was playing, and now are the Vikings like stepping up? We've seen what Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, they've got a offense that's pretty complete too. So
pretty complete. And by the way, again, a front row seat to Justin
Jefferson. And the Patriots, Sam. Ago. Gosh, there's too many storylines. I try to, but look at you breaking the rules
you know, and getting us over there. I know that, and that's okay. And that's why we love you. All right. This is exactly why we love you. I tried to put this in a box, and you're well outside the box, and that's quite all right, because there really is too much. It was really unfair what we even said coming into this. Just give us two things. But that's okay. Quickly, one thing I just wanted to say about Minnesota. I mean, Justin Jefferson, you were there front row seat, 143 yards against the Chargers, followed up by 169 against the Packers. And credit to Cousins, who so many people say primetime can't do it, big games doesn't do it. And yet, if you look at what he's done against Green Bay, which clearly, since he's become a Viking, is the most important opponent he has every single season, Kirk Cousins' numbers against the Packers, go back and check them out. It was remarkable this particular Sunday. And most games that he plays head-to-head against Aaron Rodgers, that's a shootout, and it was, and he was on the right end of it.
Well, it's funny because when I was doing my stories, I saw that both away teams won last season.
Of course, last season.
Was it both away or both home?
Yeah, no, both. Last year was both of the away teams. It was this last season, and the Green Bay had won in Minnesota, and vice versa, Minnesota won in Green Bay, and it was looking much like that on this particular Sunday, late in that game, when Rodgers, it seemed like the Packers had picked off Cousins in a tie ball game, and they were going to drive for the field goal, and instead it ends up barely not being an interception, and there's Cousins coming out on the right end of it, which was great to see, and it took everybody. So I like what you said about Minnesota, and quickly to your Patriots point, we'll just say it. Mm-hmm. Taylor, you were right about this. Look,
they're like the silent horse. Bill Belichick is like the cockroach that just outlives us all. He outlives a nuclear explosion.
It's terrifying. It's
by the way, that was a fun fact that I looked up last week, is that cockroaches can like somehow outlive nuclear bombs or explosions. I'm so serious. People around me are looking at me like I'm crazy right now, and I actually did look this up online.
It's very true, and it's gross, obviously, cockroaches, who wants that? But there is something magical about the cockroach that can't survive. And again, and by the way, I remember I wrote the Patriots off. The game against the Bucs. Oh, Mac Jones looks good, and then the Patriots are really turning around. They're so close to the Bucs, and I thought the Patriots season is not about being close. They're not one of the best teams in the season. Look right now. Of course, the season doesn't end today, but if you look now, Tipper, you've been on the Patriots. They're in first place in the AFC East for the first time since 2019.
I know. Look, what Uh-oh. Happened to the Bills today? Granted, they played a good Uh-oh. Team still.
All right, so those are your 2/6 observations from week 11. Okay, so those are the 2 or 7 things that you now know from week 11, which is great because we always say we don't know anything, and now here you are. You know 7 or 8 things, which is great, and that was really fun. I'm going to stick to only 2 here, and we'll go quick.
I love how disciplined you are.
I've just been working on it. Maybe it's because Levi's crying in the other room, but I'm just sticking to 2 things here, and that is all. And yes, they do
move
into other teams, but here we go. So number 1, the Chiefs, yes, okay, beating the Cowboys 19-9, and I'm sure a much different game than people expected with a score that low. But the Chiefs over the last 6 games, Taylor, have allowed 14.5 points per game on defense. The player of the game for the Chiefs.
I know.
It's not Travis Kelce.
But that's
it's
because not Tyreek Hill. It's
Mahomes. Chris Jones on defense, by far the player of the game for the Chiefs. It's scary what Spagnuolo's doing. I don't know what's happening there.
I think they're all healthy. The offense,
you're right. The offense hasn't been clicking, and so now they're leaning on the defense a little bit. But we could have come in here, and you know me, I like to talk bad about Dak Prescott, but we could have come in. Something was wrong with the Cowboys today, but actually in watching that, it really wasn't just – the Cowboys weren't just off. The Chiefs were stopping. The Cowboys. The Chiefs had an incredibly precise game plan against the Cowboys, very specifically. And of course, no Amari Cooper, but
no Amari Cooper, no Tyron Smith.
Yeah, but the Chiefs winning
rattle Dak a little bit, and then the noise. We all know that was loud. Arrowhead is loud,
no doubt. So that's number 1 for me. Chiefs are on top in the AFC West, but it's the way they're winning, particularly what they've done the last 6 games. Yes, Mahomes had 5 touchdowns in the last game against the Raiders, but that's not what, for me, it's really what's happening defensively for the Chiefs, because if they can win that way,
yeah,
and we know what they can do offensively, then maybe this is the real scary jaws in the water that we've got to be aware of. All right, so that's number 1. Number 2 for me, and shouldn't be that surprising, Jonathan Taylor, 5 touchdowns on Sunday in Buffalo. What the Colts did against the Bills, yes, that's staggering. But overall, the Colts are 6-5, Taylor. They started the season 0-3. And if you really look at this stretch since they've been 0-3, remember, and you know this game well, they blew a 16-point lead in Baltimore and lost in overtime on Monday Night Football. What an incredible comeback by the Ravens, right? Mm-hmm. And the Colts looked excellent in that game. Wentz's greatest game since 2017 for sure is that game against Baltimore. And then they blew a 14-point lead against Tennessee. And those are the only 2 games they've lost since starting the season 0-3. And had they won that game against Tennessee, and remember, Wentz had the horrible left-handed in his own end zone interception that's just inexcusable, where that game ends up in overtime, where he throws another interception in overtime. Had they found a way to win that game against Tennessee, they'd be 7-4 and a game back of the Titans. It'd be a little more exciting. But they are very much on the outside looking in of the playoffs. And to me, the Colts are a playoff team.
I agree.
The Colts are a playoff team. It could be that the 2 losses to Tennessee will cost them, and it would certainly cost them any shot at winning the division. But to me, the Colts are going to find a way. Colts are going to find a way. That's the team right now that looks scary good. Wentz looks as good as 2017. And of course, my family being from Philly, nobody remembers the Wentz 2017 like I do in my head every single play. He had a play again today where he slips out of a sack, runs 18 yards down the middle of the field. It's those little plays by Wentz where you know his confidence, and his confidence about being injured is at an all-time high, because he's playing with reckless abandon, which you love to see, because he's got that little bit of Favre in him. And that's the Wentz the Colts were hoping to get. And him and Reich seem to be clicking right now. So those are my two. I'm going to keep two. That's it.
Okay. Well, can I add one more?
Please. Look, you had 10. We might as well make it 12. I mean, that's fine.
Well, who's counting, right?
Right.
So I have one more thing that I am excited about seeing. This is nothing that I learned, obviously, from this week.
Okay. Yes.
Something that I'm looking forward to seeing, or just more curious, is to see how OBJ is going to fit into this Rams offense. We saw him play in one game, but he obviously didn't do much. He didn't have enough time to practice and get to know the offense that well. I am so curious to see how his personality meshes with a team that already has so many big personalities on it. I think it'll be interesting to see if Matthew Stafford, I'm not saying it's likely, but say Matthew Stafford has three bad games, is he going to be the pouty OBJ that he's been on his last two teams?
Or is he committed enough to recognize that this is a potential Super Bowl team? I'm not going to say likely, but very much a potential Super Bowl team that he's on. And can he, unlike Deshaun, who didn't figure out, okay, I can be a small piece of something big, can Odell figure out, all right, I can be a small piece of something humongous here? I agree with you on that. I was excited to see it Monday night 2 weeks ago, and yet I had a feeling that it wouldn't be right away, and it wasn't. And this could be special, right? If Odell can fill some of that Robert Woods hole, then the Rams are again, and not that we didn't think they'd be one of the teams to beat in the NFC, but maybe they're the team to beat in the NFC if Odell can just fill that out.
I have a hard time believing that he'll all of a sudden miraculously change, because if you think about it, the Browns, they went to the playoffs last year for the first time, and we all know how, like, in extremely a long time. He was still pouting this year. They had a few bad games. They're still potentially a playoff team.
The Browns absolutely. The Browns coming into the season were a team that was expected to be in the AFC Championship game, and their season at one point, really before Baker got hurt, that was a team that was definitely trending in the right direction, and yet Odell's upset about touches.
I don't see some of those other big personalities on the Rams team putting up with that attitude.
You would think,
and letting them get away with just kind of half-assing it on plays, not really giving it his all once he's not the receiver that's being targeted.
That's a great observation, and I'm glad I asked. We asked Taylor this week. We said, all right, we need two things that we learned from week 11,
and I gave you 20,
and you gave me 20, and even one from the previous week and in future weeks. So I love that, Taylor. That is why we love you. That is why we listen to Let's Catch Up. That is why we are here, because you cannot keep us to any rules. All right, we are going to give you everything we've got, no matter what we say. All right, Taylor, we'll have plenty more to catch up. I cannot wait to do this again. Hail to the shoestring fries. I would say, you know what, at this point, commit to them for the rest of the season. Don't even fool yourself on the way to the stadium.
No, there's no
Don't
point.
Tell yourself it's not going to happen.
Those white lies that I tell myself exactly. On Sunday morning.
Skinny fries, impossible to avoid.
To say no to.